Hello and welcome to the Fast Asleep podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast moving world of Formula One. Today we talk about Fernando Alonso joining Toyota and update you on the car launch dates of the F1 teams. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Fergal. Hello everyone to episode 74 of the Fastest Lap podcast. Well, Fernando Alonso once said he wouldn't want to do more than 21 races per F1 season. Well, it's not F1, but Fernando will be doing a lot of racing this year, right?
He will, yeah. I think there is something like 25 or 26 events that he's going to be doing. So yeah, he's going
to
be
additional to Formula One, right?
Yeah, of course. And you know, I think last year when he was in his when the not so ideal position with McLaren, he spoke how he would love to be racing every weekend, and we saw when he went off to Indianapolis to take part in the Indy 500, it was a really different Fernando Alonso. I mean, you could sort of, he seemed really, you know, happy that he was competitive again. And yeah, so now he's joined Toyota for the World Endurance Championship, and I don't think the announcement is, it's not really that much of a surprise. I mean, we know he had a test with Toyota a while ago. And
for me the announcement that he would do the whole season apart from Fuji, which is clashing with USA, it was a bit surprised that it was the whole season.
I mean, there was rumors that he was looking for that, and I wasn't too sure whether he would be allowed to do that, so that was a little bit more surprising. But altogether, it wasn't really the biggest surprise in the world. I think many people were expecting him to do the 24 hours of Le Mans anyway, yeah. because his, you know, goal to win the Triple Crown and everything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think he's definitely in contention. The World Endurance Championship, you know, it's not, well, the LMP1 class isn't as competitive as it used to be, but you know, I think he will be in a very good shout of that with Toyota. He of course has two former F1 drivers as his teammates, Nakajima and Buemi, so yeah, I'm very really looking forward to seeing how he gets on in that championship.
Yeah, it's a strong lineup for Toyota then. On the other hand, I think they're, for this year, they're the only LMP1 team, right?
I know that Audi are no longer in it, but I was just thinking if Porsche are or not. I'm not too sure, I'm not going to lie. I follow World Endurance Championship just a small bit, but I can't remember if Porsche left or not, which is terrible of me.
I think they did.
Possibly. But certainly, you know, like I was saying, that the LMP1 class isn't as competitive as it used to be, and I think he has a good chance of going all the way with them. And I'm actually just thinking, I believe that Porsche have left the series, because I remember Brendan Hartley won the championship with them.
Yeah, I checked it. They left LMP WEC to join or to focus more on a Formula E program.
Yeah, which is like every other manufacturer, what every other manufacturer is doing as well. So, yeah, so that season kicks off in May, so it's quite a bit away yet. It's rather strange, the current or the upcoming season of the World Endurance Championship. It's stretched over a whole year, and basically in the one it's stretched across 2018 and 2019. They're calling it basically a super season. There's 8 events, and there's going to be 2 24 hours of Le Mans. So basically they'll have the 24 hours of Le Mans in 2018 on the 16th, 17th of June, and then they'll have one again in 2019 on the 15th and 16th of June, all in the one calendar. So it's going to be a very long season of the World Endurance Championship.
I just thought about it. Basically, Alonso has the opportunity to put his Kimoa logo in every category of motorsport. I mean, we saw it at the Indy 500, Formula One, WEC. Where else? I mean, what other categories could he show it? I mean, it's his company, right? And I think he's promoting it heavily.
Yeah, he is.
It
And you
will
know,
even be a sponsor on the McLaren car this season, I think, right?
yeah, I'd imagine so. And you know, we even seen it on we I mean we can't talk about him in endurance racing without mentioning the Daytona 24 last
Yeah,
weekend.
that's what I just couldn't remember.
Yeah, I mean, those two United Autosport cars competing, and whenever it switched to it, I always knew which car was which because the Kamoa logo was at the side of one of the cars, so that was easy to distinguish. But yeah, I mean, that Daytona 24, did you watch any of
Well, no, I didn't.
it?
I watched the Indy 500 because, well, I thought, let's watch that as a big motorsport event, but I didn't watch the last one. Was it exciting? I read on Twitter that you stayed up for a long time.
Yeah, I say throughout the 24 hours I watched maybe, I'm really not sure, maybe around 9 or 10, 11 hours of it. Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, the Daytona track itself is a pretty good track, pretty awesome track. So yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. The top class, I guess, in that is LMP2. So it'll be a step up for Alonso when he gets into the Toyota. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty good. I mean, Alonso's chances of winning the race were very slim anyway to begin with. He of course was partnered with Lando Norris and another racer called Phil Hansen. And yeah, I think, I mean, they had a number of car issues. And actually, I can't quite remember how many laps down they finished, but I mean, they were placed, I think, like 38th overall. Yeah, I think they were, I'm not sure, 70 or 80 laps behind the leader at the end of the race. So yeah, what didn't quite go to plan with
Not
them, but
ideal.
no, but I'm sure the experience was good for Alonso heading into the World Endurance Championship.
Absolutely. So yeah, may or yeah, we might get some Alonso news every weekend or so in the middle of next or this year when we have him racing a lot of races. So yeah, that's definitely something to look out for Fernando Alonso fans, and maybe also for fans of Formula One. I might maybe watch some WEC races. I haven't watched any, basically, apart from the Le Mans once. Did you or have you?
Yeah, I've watched a number of races before. I mean, not all of it. I usually just watch the first bit, and then if I'm not busy doing stuff, I'd watch it. But usually I'm doing stuff, but I'd normally always keep up to date with what's happening on social media or whatever, and then I might see highlights on it. But yeah, I think it's a fairly it's well it's an okay series, but I just think LMP1 as a whole needs a bit more competition.
Yeah, but now enough of WEC, Daytona, Formula E. Let's get back to Formula One. And, well, there aren't too many breaking news at the moment, but we do get some news on car launches. And I think this week we had a few announcements of Renault, Sauber, Toro Rosso. No, we talked about that last week. Who else did we
Well,
have?
Yeah, we did talk about Toro Rosso, but yeah, they have. It was sort of an unofficial. It was expected that Toro Rosso would be releasing their car on the 25th, but they've come out today and said that it's going to be released on the 26th, I believe, which is that's a Monday, which is the first day of pre-season testing.
So basically, they'll roll out the car ahead of the preseason test and then just go testing.
Yeah, I think that's what Haas did last year. Even though they, I mean, they, I think they do a shakedown on the Sunday where the car goes around for a lap, and yeah, basically everyone saw the Haas. I mean, there was like loads and loads of pictures taken of the Haas on track before it was actually formally released. So I imagine it'll be something similar this year. So yeah, the Toro Rosso is on the 26th. Yeah, then we have Sauber and Renault both will be releasing their cars on February 20th. So they, well, apart, well, actually, we'll have Williams first, which is on the 15th, which is very early, and then we'll have
Haven't they been early with their 2000 and which one was it?
they were very early last year. I remember they.
Last year, yeah, right. It was last year with the new aero rules, and I think they very early on they showed some kind of renders of their car, very early, yeah. So.
Yeah, that was, I'm not quite sure what date it was, but it was very early, yeah. And yes, they might be doing something similar again this time. Maybe not, I don't know. Considering it's a bit closer to testing, they might actually showcase the car. But yeah, then we'll have Renault and Sauber on the 20th. I mean, I think Sauber, in terms of the Sauber livery, what we can expect, I mean, I think we already know what we can expect, because at the launch of the driver's announcement, they kind of showcased a concept livery of red and white, which looked pretty good. I mean, it was pretty bare because there's barely any sponsors or anything, but I think we well, I like, you're a fan of it. I am. I love it. I think it looks really, really good. But of course, I mean, well, I hardly say that that was just a livery for show, and then they're going to turn up with something like a fully yellow or blue livery in Barcelona. But yeah, we'll just have to wait and see it on the actual 2018 car.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't look bad, but I think there's much more potential in a good design with that red color and the white, and it looked for me it looked a bit boring to say it like that. Not bad, but maybe a bit boring. But yeah, we'll see. Maybe they are still working on the design and they come up with a bit of a more aggressive looking livery.
Yeah,
So,
like I said, it though, it's a bit hard to judge when it's on an old car like
yeah.
that with little sponsors. And then, yeah, I was just gonna say, in terms of the Renault livery, I'd imagine there wouldn't be a massive change from their yellow and black of last year. To be honest, I hope there isn't that much of a change,
Yeah.
because I really like that livery. I think it looks pretty good.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I
But
mean, there's not there wasn't many people that said the livery looked bad last season, and when I first saw the 2017 car, I was like, wow, that looks really good. And yeah, let's hope they stay with that black and yellow livery. Sadly, we don't have the shark fin, which I thought looked pretty good on that Renault with that yellow line on top of it.
yeah, really, really made it work, the shark fin.
Yeah.
Of course, they're scrapped for the upcoming season, so yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what else they can do with
Thank you,
the new
McLaren.
design. Yeah.
Yeah, so those were the announcement, right? Renault, Sauber, Toro Rosso, Williams.
Yeah, that's pretty much. I mean, we just have left. We just have Red Bull and Haas are the only two cars left to announce the launch dates. Hopefully they'll. I mean, there's a lot of recurring dates. There's for the launches, so hopefully we'll get an extra day or two out of the launch schedule. So yeah, I expect Red Bull and Haas will announce the dates fairly soon.
So yeah, that's something to look forward to. And speaking of forward pushing race starts forward, let's go to our next and last topic for this episode. Well, this week we heard some proposals of Liberty Media to improve the TV broadcast package for Formula One, and one of these suggestions were that they wanted to move the race start forward. Wasn't it 1.5 hours or something? 1 hour and 10 minutes. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, the first it was all about European races, and the first report that I heard was that it was they wanted to move it forward 1 hour, and then there was another report suggesting they wanted to move it forward another hour, and for some weird reason, I guess because it's an American thing, they wanted to start at 10 minutes past the hour. I mean, I know IndyCar does something like that, and I'm pretty sure NASCAR does as well, but I'm not too sure. Yeah, but they wanted it just, yeah, they wanted to start the races 10 minutes past the hour, which is a little bit weird. But you know, I seen there was a bit of a fuss kicked up about it all. To be honest, I don't really see it as a major deal. I mean, there's a lot, Formula One has a lot bigger issues than you know, what time the race starts at. At the end of the day, it's not going to affect it's not going to affect us in Europe. And I guess the aim is for Liberty Media to bring the race times forward for the people in the US, because these European races are on very early over in the US. If you're on
still,
the West Coast,
still, that, does that 1 hour make a difference? I'm not sure when is the race on in the US.
Well, I know there's like a 4 or 5 hour time difference between me here in Ireland and the East Coast of the United States. So imagine there's an even bigger gap between, or you know, a similar gap between the United States and the East Coast and the West Coast of the United States. So I imagine if you're over on the West Coast, the races are on very, very, very early. And you know, it's the same in South America. Of course, the people who do suffer from this are, I think, if my maths are correct, the people that will suffer from this are people in Asia, know, Asian viewers. But yeah, just personally speaking, at a personal level, it doesn't really change anything at all for me. You know, I think maybe other people can get a bit more of a lie-in if they like sleeping in until 12 or 1 in the afternoon. But yeah, I think Formula One itself has much bigger issues to address rather than start time. So if it does change, I mean, it's not going to make any difference to me.
I agree, it doesn't really make a huge difference. On the other hand, well, of course, most people don't like change, because change always bears the risk of something bad happening, let's put it that way. And as you said, I don't see the big reason why to do it yet. Well, you could say they want to focus on the American market, but as you also said, then you might have problems on the Asian market, and Asia is also a big market for all car manufacturers. So for me personally, I don't like the idea, because well, Sundays, or yeah, most of the times, Sunday in the later afternoon, I'm not at home, so that's not good if the race starts an hour or 1 hour 10 minutes later. So I'm not a fan, and I don't think it really solves anything at all. But yeah, I hope some of the other suggestions that I heard are coming through. I think it's pretty certain that from this season onwards, F1 will introduce a streaming service for fans, especially, I'm not sure which countries, but I think USA is a Germany, I think, is one of the countries. And yeah, also one thing we might talk about, Sky Germany lost the lost the rights to show Formula One here in Germany, which means only the Formula One will only be free to air. Well, interesting choice by Liberty Media there, but yeah, what do you make of it from an Irish perspective?
Yeah, I guess it really doesn't impact me very much. You know, it was quite interesting for Liberty to do that. But yeah, in terms of the streaming service, it's heavily doubtful that it's going to be available in the UK and Ireland,
mm-hmm.
Simply because of the exclusive deal that Sky has. Yeah, I mean, that is something that is inevitably coming into the sport. I also just wanted to say about, there's another couple of suggestions from Liberty Media, that some things that I really hope don't come into the sport. For example, there was like music or a soundtrack would
be played over.
Yeah, I mean, it's just stupid. There was another one about a highlights reel throughout the race, and I remember,
yeah, because we don't have enough replays or what.
Yeah, because I remember I've watched when NBC, of course, showed Formula One. I sometimes watch some of the streams from their races, and yeah, they used to do a highlight reel, you know, every, I don't know, 10 laps or 15 laps or whatever, they went back of what's happened in the race so far, and it was infuriating. Like, it used to really, really annoy me. I mean, just watch what's happening on the track, you know? And there was a number of different changes coming in, and yeah, but no, they're only being considered, so that could be coming in. I really hope they don't. Also, we're going to have a different... like the names and the timed laps, you know, the displays that are on the screen, the fonts and styles are going to be very different. And if the fonts so far that have been shown are what's going to be coming up, I mean, I haven't seen one single person yet that says that they actually like the designs. I mean, personally,
me neither.
I think they look terrible. They look really, really ugly and boring. Well, not boring, just really. Yeah, I don't really know the word to describe it. They're just, yeah, just plain
awful.
Ugly. Yeah, actually, there's plenty of words I could use to describe it. So yeah, that's probably another thing that we're going to have this year. So yeah, you can. We've spoken before about the praise and the. Yeah, the negativity that Liberty Media are getting all the time, you know, from topic to topic. And I think that'll probably continue with all these different broadcasting changes.
Yeah, so interesting times, right? Interesting times in Formula One. And I think that's all we wanted to talk in this week's episode. So yeah, thank you again for listening, and I hope you will be back with us next week when we've got more news, hopefully, from the world of Formula One. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.